Well, good evening, dear ones. Welcome to our Wednesday evening midweek church service. Welcome to those that are on the phone and to those that will be listening to the recorded service. And God is so good to allow us to gather back together again and to feast upon His words, which gives our spiritual life edification and the nourishment to continue forward and continue advancing up that straight and narrow path that ends in heaven and eternal life. So praise God, and we'll continue into our service for this evening. Our opening song is entitled, Send the Light. And the link is lightministries.com/ID1941.htm. Send the light.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, and a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
Amen. Amen. That's only the second time I've heard that particular hymn. And each time I hear it, I get a good feeling in my heart. Definitely send that light out. Don't hold it in. Don't put your candle underneath the bed. But let it shine to reach out to others with the precious truth. Ask you to please bow your heads and kneel for our opening prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, thank you so very much for being with us through the first part of this week. Thank you for thy many and wonderful blessings, and please continue to pour them out upon us in rich abundance, that we might be advancing upward and be able to have Christ that much more fully enthroned in our hearts and lives, and be able to share Him with others in a greater way, a more complete capacity, so that the truth can indeed spread around the world and help to fill it until it is ablaze with Thy glory and all decisions are made and You can come. We ask Your presence to be in our midst, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, and please, Spirit, increase our capacity to learn, to retain, and to practice with the grace from above, and thank You so much. We pray that all custom and tradition and all preconceived ideas and opinions will become as nothing, and that Christ may be able to reign in our hearts supreme, dispelling all darkness and letting us fall more in love with Him. And Father, as Lord of the harvest, we pray that You will continue to prepare hearts to receive Your seeds of truth. Sprout them, Lord, and let an abundant harvest take place for Your glory and the uplifting of Jesus Christ and the enlarging of Your kingdom of righteousness. And thank You that this is being done and that we are one day closer to heaven. Thank You for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, we have a special guest speaker for this evening. It is Brother Joel, and he has a very important message to bring before each and every one of us. And so without any further delay, I'm going to go ahead and turn the time over to our dear brother.
Good evening, and God bless you all. It's impressed on my heart to bring a message that actually deals with keeping things very simple when it comes down to bringing the gospel. And so before taking any longer, I'm just going to continue to go right on into what it is that we're going to talk about. And it was labeled to me as speak the gospel with humility, sincerity, faith, and power. And I think that it's very important as it's very late right now in being able to give out this very powerful message that the Lord has entrusted with us all to give out to a very dying world, that we need to be able to do so quickly and simply. And I pray that that this will be a blessing, and I pray that you'll bear with me as I try to present this. I'm going to start off from quoting Matthew, I believe that's chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And seeing the multitude, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. I want to touch on a few things in this one particular passage, and I pray again that you'll bear with me. We may not finish this whole thing today because I really would like to also give some time for discussion and whatever questions that by God's grace I may be able to try and answer. Okay, praise God then. So we'll take our time and go through this, and then by God's grace we can, if we need to, we'll finish the rest by next midweek. And the link for this is www.lightministries.com/sta/id1360.htm. So I have a little something written down at the bottom, and it's a note to myself, but it's also for all of you too, and that is that before this sermon, and I'm going to go back to a couple of little things in here for clarity. Before the sermon was given, the Lord Jesus was tempted and overcame temptation in the desert by the devil through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and then went and called his disciples. The entire message is really one of complete hope, and it really is, and we'll touch on that. That's what the lost of the world need to hear. That's what we personally needed to hear when we finally chose to serve the Lord God Jesus Christ, because we were hopeless. The only way that anybody ever brings Christ Jesus to us is through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. It is the only way. We would not even listen unless the Holy Spirit was moving in our heart at that time. We would not even pay attention unless the Word of God was truly hammering away at the stoniness of our heart, or picking and poking and letting us understand that this is coming from God. So without that, we would not have even seen the wretchedness of our condition. We would not have responded unless it was like that. So where we came from, it's just a quick little taste of that's how we really need to reach others, not forgetting where we came from. To go back a little bit into Matthew chapter 5, 1 through 20, there's just a couple of things that I think I need to just clarify, just in case, to put things in their proper perspective and to take a little reflection on things. The entire message really is one of hope, and it's really a rejoicing hope, because the people which the Lord was talking to, they have been beaten down for quite a bit, not only by the occupation of the Roman soldiers, but also by the heavy and overbearing burden of their religious leaders. They were quite beat down. And even, you know, we can take a look at even how our own flesh beats us, that they had it coming from every single side. So to hear the Messiah speaking these words of exceeding encouragement when they themselves more than likely felt like, there really isn't much more than what we're going to endure now. We're either going to get it from the Romans, or we're going to get it from the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the tax collectors, don't forget them. And then there's this, they had it coming from every side, and the ailments that were just abundant during that time. I praise the living God for this right here, which I, you know, I read through before in my younger days. I've heard this before, and actually even as I was a child, trying to even find out anything about the Lord. And I called myself a child back then. I was in my teens, but still I was a child. when I had read what is called the Beatitudes, and I really probably should have looked into why that's called the Beatitudes. Maybe, Brother Rob, you could expound on that later on as to why it's called the Beatitudes. But when I first heard them, I was excited because I knew what I was going through in my childhood and what I was still going through and what I was still a child, but as my younger teens, and I did not particularly see much hope for myself at the time. So hearing this one little section, verses 1 through 20 in chapter 5, really sparked something inside of me. It really stirred me up. It really let me see that there may be some hope for this downtrodden, wretched kid. I might actually be able to do something right for a change. This is what I really believe that in reading this, the Lord wanted the people then to see, that they were very, very valuable. They were very, very, priceless in his eyes. And he wanted to let them see, you are very loved. And I believe very much so that when we are witnessing and sharing Christ for others, they need to hear that coming from our mouths, and they need to see that in our daily walk. They are very loved. They are priceless. For a whole world, the Lord died. But even if it was only you or I, he would have done the same. We need to really comprehend, as best as our finite minds can comprehend, the gravity of that thought. It's really a huge thought. So when we hear that the Lord is talking to these people in such a loving way, I put myself in that position because I remembered myself in that position long ago. I had gone through much persecution through my childhood. And I share a little here and there because it's necessary. This is how we reach the lost. We cannot, I have to state these things this way because it's very important. We cannot believe that we are going to reach the lost and not give something of ourselves. Anyone who is out there doing any kind of gospel work, it needs to be understood. You have to sacrifice something of yourselves. The experiences that the Lord God has brought you through by the power of the Holy Spirit throughout the course of your life is for a reason. It's not to hold it all to yourself, though there are some things you might have to keep to yourself for the sake of saving others and for the sake of not causing anyone else to stumble. There are things you just have to keep to yourself. But the immensity of the experience that through Christ Jesus we are brought through in our tiny little lifespan that we have on this globe until the Lord comes, it's a plethora. It is a really, it's an abundance. It's so much of a whole, how could I say, treasure trove. It really is. If we will allow the Holy Spirit to teach us how to use the treasures of our suffering, the treasures of our experience, the treasures of what we've gone through from our childhood up until where we are right now, walking with Christ, to reach someone else who's going through it. When the Lord was speaking right here at this time, he was talking to everybody right where they were. He was not trying to talk to anybody above or below in any way offend. He was reaching them right where they were. And when we're reaching out to others in a simple hello to a, I've got 5 or 10 minutes to share Christ, reach them where they are. Let your smile be sincere at all times. Let your greeting really be a greeting and not just say, yeah, and that's really it. I know it seems like there might be so much coming out of this one area, but there's so much in it. We are bearing precious seed, and that's Christ. And we have to do so in a humble heart, and we have to do so in the simplest way to reach the lost. They have been beaten up. They have been dragged down. They are aching, wounded, sorrowful, depressed, tormented. And here we have the balm of Gilead right with us. We have to be willing to reach them right where they are. Now the Lord continues to go on and lets them know, as they're sitting right there, that they are what? The salt of the earth. They are what the seasoning is for the lost. Those people who what? Who hear the word, receive it into their heart, and the seed grows and rises up in them and salt in the kingdom of God that is in them. We are also the salt of the earth. We have to not make our walk complicated. It's complicated enough as it is. We have to keep our walk as simple as it can be when it comes to bringing that precious seed to those who have never, and I mean really, most have never heard the gospel in its fullness. They have heard pieces of the gospel. They have heard about Jesus. They have heard some Bible stories. But we need to bring them the simplicity and the fullness of the gospel, because that's what will bring them deliverance. We're to go out there and be light bearers, even as he said. We're not to take what the Lord has been storing inside of us over all these years of nurturing our lives and stirring us up and breaking up the fallow ground and watering some more and pouring in some oil and bringing this brother from that way and this sister from that way and a trial over here and a tribulation over there. He's got to get us refined. He has not spent all that time in our little lives for nothing. This is a precious work. It's a priceless work. But if he gives us talents, he is expecting us to invest them in the labor of love, which is what we're walking right now for him. We have to be willing to stay salty. We have to stay salty. Be in prayer, be in studies, share what the Lord is giving you to share. Whether it be to your next-door neighbor or your co-worker or anyone around you, share. Your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter, share. You may not always have an opportunity to share as much as you want to, but share what the Holy Spirit gives you opportunity to. And don't be fearful. Just take a little step and share. It only takes a little bit sometimes. Sometimes just saying, with the sincerity and understanding of your heart, remembering back when you first got saved and first understood that the Lord Jesus loved you, remember that time when you say, you know what? Jesus really loves you. Remember that way. Give it that way. Present it that way. And it will always be fresh to you, and it will come across to your listener as fresh to them. They will see your experience is a living experience. It's not stale. It's not stagnant. They will understand by how you say it and seeing and reading even your face and your eyes. Are you really sincere? Do you mean what you say? Do you believe what you say? You know, Jesus really loves you. It's important. It's so important that we come across with an understanding that we still have that fresh first love experience. And I know the world can do some beating us up, and we have trials and tribulations, and I know personally, it can get to a point to where it just seems like, oh, sit down, kneel down, sit back, pray. Talk to your Savior. Talk to the Lord. Plead. Bring me back the freshness of the walk when I first met you. I need that, Jesus. I need that. And I'm telling you, it's going to come. Be ready for it. It's going to come. So let me go ahead and move on. I'm going down to quote number two. I typed this little side note that says, keep it simple, servants. and the acronym of that would be a kiss. It was very customary back in those days to greet one another with a hug or a holy kiss or a customary kiss upon the cheek. If there is one thing that these war-weary lost really need, it's a good hug and a kiss. And I know Jesus can give that to them. I know he can give that to them. But we have to bring him to them. We have to. We're commanded to. And it's not hard to do. It really isn't. The Lord is speaking to his people at this time, saying, gain an entrance into the cities and proclaim the truth in simplicity and in faith. Introduce no strange doctrine into your message, but speak the simple words of the gospel of Christ, which young and old can understand. The unlearned, as well as the educated, are to comprehend the truths of the third angel's message, and they must be taught in simplicity. If you would approach the people acceptably, humble your hearts before God and learn his ways. Now, this was taken from Call to Medical Evangelism and Health Education, page 15, paragraph 2. God bless you, dear brother. This is very important. We have to really, really keep things simple. Very true. Kindness can break the hardest heart. Very true, dear sister. We have to keep things very simple. And when it does state that, you know, to gain entrance into the cities, I was led to choose this not just because of the cities, but because of how we're to focus on the simplicity of the gospel. It is not complicated. It really is not. The greatest amount of the work done in sowing the seeds of the gospel is the Lord doing it. We need to really understand that. The greatest, we may think that we're doing so much of the work when it comes down to, you know, winning the souls. It's the Lord doing the real abundant amount of the work here, because only the Lord knows how the Holy Spirit is working in human hearts to regenerate them, renew them, recreate them, resurrect them, and give new life. We're taking his words, not our words, his words, and spreading them out, broadcasting them, excuse me, like seeds upon the ocean of people. That's what we're doing. And we're praying prayerfully, and maybe even doing a little weeping for these souls. That would be a good thing. But it is the Lord that is actually doing the work. He is the one that germinates it. He is the one that shoots forth the little sprout. He is the one that continues to give it life, that waters it. I may come along with a word, another brother or sister with another word. He may bring a little tribulation to that person's life who he knows the word is working, though we cannot see the word working. We may not see any effort of the word working that we put in, another dear brother put in, somebody else put in. We may not see that effort in 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. We may not see it, but the Lord sees it. That's really what matters. We are to be obedient children. Obedient children. Faithful children. Loving children. This is what we're supposed to be. And we go forth in obedience and faith and love, and we broadcast the seeds of grace, broadcast the seeds of mercy, broadcast the seeds of love. That is what we are commanded to do. We are not commanded to give our words in any of our ways at all. When our flesh gets in the middle of it, the Holy Spirit has to back away. Now, there are times of mercy when our flesh will be getting in the way, and the Lord, because he is desirous very strongly to save that soul, as he is to all souls, he desires that not one should perish, he's going to keep doing the work regardless of our foolishness. But how much more the blessing would have been if we would have yielded and not thought to use some high flowery ideas or slip back into the world and start getting into all of our slang and stuff just to make a point clear. We don't have to do that. We don't have to become something that the Lord delivered us out of or become something that we're no longer anymore in order to reach the lost. We don't have to. We can talk about how we were there before and used to do this and this as much as we are able to without causing more problems than good. We can do that, but we do not have to go ahead and colorize our phrases and move in certain ways with our bodies in order to feel that we're communicating. Are you? Are you really communicating? Who are you communicating? Is that the gospel? Now it's changed. Because the conversation isn't always just about what we're bringing concerning the scripture. It's also what are you bringing in your body? What are you bringing in how you speak the scripture? What are you bringing? If you are far removed from having been down those real rocky roads where the street is strong in your words and the street is strong in how you walk and the street is strong in how you act, okay, I can understand if you're just really just coming to the Lord and you're studying. But if the Lord has brought you a long way from there and you do not talk like that anymore and you don't walk like that anymore and you don't dress like that anymore, it is unnecessary, unneedful, and it's really shameful to regress to make a point about Jesus. We don't have to do that. Meet them where they are. You can meet them where you are, where they are, and you can become all things to all people, but don't become what you were just for the trying to save this one or that one. Now you all of a sudden, your pants are down a little lower, or you're dropping this word or that word that you really shouldn't be dropping to meet them? No. Amen. You don't want to do that. So praise God. Point number three. Carrying the gospel to the poor. And the little note I had on the side of here is, what better food to bring than the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ? Having gone through quite a bit of poverty, I have to say it that way, though it did not seem like that way. But I remember my mayonnaise sandwiches when I was a child. I don't know. No one else may not have had to experience that, but I remember ketchup sandwiches. I remember mayonnaise sandwiches. I remember, you know, my mom and dad making a can of beans cold look really, really good. I mean, but now, you know, I brought that point because poverty hits really hard. But there is nothing, and I mean this with all my heart, there is nothing to me that is a deeper poverty than spiritual poverty. I do not know of a greater starvation than starving for the love of God. I don't know of anything more powerful than that. I just don't. There is a vast sea of people right around each and every one of us, and they are starving for the love of God. They are starving for the love of Jesus. They are starving to see, to hear even, to hear in sincerity, in simplicity, in humility, the gospel. The gospel of love. They're starving to hear this. They would love to hear someone who can truly bring them the gospel, even as the Lord brought it to the poor up on that hill when he gave them the Beatitudes. They need that kind of experiencing the love of Jesus. And we need to be the ones to bring it to them. It reads, the poverty of the people to whom we are sent is not to prevent us from working for them. Christ came to this earth to walk and work among the poor and suffering. they received the greatest share of his attention. And today, in the person of his children, he visits the poor and needy, relieving woe and alleviating suffering. Take away suffering and need, and we should have no way of understanding the mercy and love of God, no way of knowing the compassionate, sympathetic Heavenly Father. Never does the gospel put on an aspect of greater loveliness than when it is brought to the most needy and destitute region. Then it is that it is light, its light shines forth with the clearest radiance and the greatest power. I'm going to stop just for a minute here because I have been in some situations in my life where I have met some souls. Well, they had done some really rough things in their days, very hardened individuals. Yet I will tell you this, by just sitting down and talking with them in sincerity over whatever game that we might have been playing at that time, of the love of the Lord God Jesus Christ, and giving it in the way in which I understood that love was poured out to me, it amazed me to see these grown men melt, because it was something they had never truly experienced in their entire life. Some, they had done things they felt that there was just no forgiveness for. And yet in sharing Christ with them, they had hope. And that's what it's like to share Christ with anyone, if we share it in humility and simplicity. They will know that there is hope, because the Holy Spirit will go forth, because we have humbled ourselves to be used by Him. And they will know in their heart there is hope. It is not over yet. Truth from the Word of God enters the hovel of the peasant. Rays from the Sun of Righteousness light up the rude cottage of the poor, bringing gladness to the sick and suffering. Angels of God are there, and the simple faith shown makes the crust of bread and the cup of water a banquet. The sin-pardoning Savior welcomes the poor and ignorant and gives them to eat of the bread that comes down from heaven. They drink of the water of life. Those who have been loathed and abandoned are through faith and pardon raised to the dignity of sons and daughters of God. Lifted above the world, they sit in heavenly places in Christ. They may have no earthly treasure, but they have found the pearl of great price. Testimonies, Volume 7, pages 226 and 227, A Call to Medical Evangelism and Health Education, page 23, paragraph 3. I'm going to continue with this last little piece here, and then I'm going to speak a little something, and then we'll stop for then and see if there's any questions. In the places where the truth is not known, brethren are to adapt to the work. Might hire a hall or some other suitable place to assemble and gather together all who will come. Then let them instruct the people in the truth. They need not sermonize, but take the Bible and let God speak directly out of His Word. If there is only a small number present, they can read a Thus Saith the Lord without a great parade or excitement. Just read and explain the simple gospel truth and sing and pray with them. Review and Herald, September 29, 1891, Christian Service, 181, paragraph 1. This ties in really to what was read above. And the reason why it ties in that way, at least what I was led to truly understand, I'm going to go back a few years and share something. some years ago, I will tell you, I was quite a wild kind of guy, and but something really struck a chord with me because I've been up and down through the Lord chasing me from one place to another, and trust me, he's been chasing me. And I praise God, he finally caught me and settled me down. So I praise the living God for that. However, I have to share this in a sense that this lit my heart up when I saw it. I don't see it done often, but it always stuck with me. And that is being able to see and even hear tent meetings. Whatever I saw or heard, saw advertisement like a little billboard here or there, like little posters about a tent meeting, or if I was down south for a season or out west for a season and I'd see a little tent meeting or something going on, or the church that I might have been attending, but this time I was kind of wild. So when I saw things like that happening, and even on a movie or something that I used to watch and things like that, it excited my heart just to hear the songs coming out. It excited my heart to hear the words of the gospel being preached from some preacher. It stirred me. It moved something deep inside me and made me want more of that, but my flesh was not trying to have it at that time in my life. But I share that to tie this in. The poor are hungry, and they're hungry for the Word of God. The poor are starving, and they're starving for the love of Jesus. The poor are needy, and they need to see the children of God out there willingly, desiringly, zealously feeding them the Word of God. We really need to be doing this. We have a short amount of time left, and the Lord is going to get the work done. With or without us involved, the work is going to get done. I would rather be a partner than someone sitting on the sidelines. I tell you that is the truth. I would rather have my hands calloused, so to speak, in the work. Uh-oh. Okay, I thought I lost you all. Sorry, everything looked like it went dark. I'd rather have my hands calloused in the work, getting down inside the trenches, even in the ugly spots nobody wants to go. I'm talking this and praying it at the same time because the Lord will make it happen. If we really desire to go where the Lord has been, He will take us to the trenches. Do we really want to see the starving masses saved? Do we really want to empathize, sympathize, and cry next to someone who's wearing clothes that have been on them for 2 weeks and haven't bathed because they have no place to live? Are we willing to reach them for Jesus? Are we willing to sit right next to them, put our arms around them, and hug them for Jesus? Are we really ready to do that? Because that's the gospel. We need to also put this into practice. So we need to go ahead and how could I say, be willing to get our hands really dirty, really dirty. And right now, we need to not just roll our sleeves up to the elbow, we need to roll our sleeves up to the top of our shoulders, because there's a lot of work. The cities were mentioned before, but some of you all don't live in the cities. But your neighbors right around you need it. And I'm sure there are some in some of the areas around you, they fit some of these descriptions. You have starving people living in mansions, but we'll get that to that later on. And they need the gospel too. And the Lord will use us if we're willing. But we have to be willing to do it as He says to do it. We have to stay humble. We have to be simple in how we bring the word. That's what's most important. We have to find a way not to, how can I say, how it's been said, how I've said it, how I've heard others say it to me. We have to be willing and not to beat a person down with what we know is the truth. We have to let them see that we're getting saved the same way that the salvation is offered to them. We're really no different. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for the entire world. We're no different. We have to understand that. Big sin, little sin. Large sin, small sin. Sin is sin in God's eyes. And none of it's making it into the kingdom. We got saved by grace through faith and obedience. They need to understand that's what's going to save them. We have to bring them Jesus Christ, the full gospel, in its simplicity, reaching them where they are. Now I'm going to end right here, and I'm going to have a quick closing prayer, and then if there's some things that you all would like to share or discuss of experiences that you've had, and that'll be a blessing. Thank you so much.
Dear gracious and heavenly Father, and dear Lord God Jesus, precious Holy Spirit, we thank you so immensely for the salvation that was brought to us, reaching us right where we were, in the pits where we were down in. And you reached down into the filthy muck and mire of our own wretchedness, and you pulled us out, and you washed us in the blood of your dear Son, and made us clean. And you poured out the oil to sanctify and consecrate us daily as we walk with you. And we know we must renew this walk every single day, because the bread of yesterday, we have to have new bread every day. We can't live on yesterday's bread, dear Lord. Teach us to come to you every single day, every single moment, truthfully. Refresh us and renew us and stir us up, dear Lord, so that we can truly comprehend with the greatest of gravity the immenseness of this work that is before us before the end comes. There are souls that are truly dying without knowing you. Please, dear Lord, have mercy on us. Let us not be guilty of anyone's blood on our hands because we did not take a moment and share Jesus with them when the Lord, when the Holy Spirit was telling us, say something. Please deliver us from those things, O Lord. Help us to see the gravity of this whole matter. Help us to rejoice and go forth with great singing to bring the gospel to the lost. Let us have a purely holy, just joyful attitude in the whole matter, and stir us up unto good works every single day. Bless everyone that is here in this room and those online, stirring their hearts up unto holy and good works, and to be prayerful and studyful, and myself especially also. Thanking you very much for this little room that you have given us a chance to be with each other and to share with each other and to hear your word and to grow in Christ together. In Jesus' name we thank you for all these things, dear Lord. Amen.
Thank you, dear brother. You mentioned this in the beginning. Beatitudes is Latin for blessedness. And when Christ was giving his sermon there on the mount, he started out, blessed are they, blessed are they. So that's why those verses there are referred to as the Beatitudes, or the supreme blessedness of what Christ was trying to teach the people. So that's what Beatitudes mean. And while you were speaking, brother, you were striking the point quite well that if we know the truth and we don't share the truth with others, it's like we're hiding our candle underneath the bed. We're burying our talent of speech in the ground. And eventually, if we don't begin using that talent of speech, if we don't begin sharing our light with others, then it will be removed from us. Our light will become darkness to us, and we will be set aside, and another will come and take our place and also our crown. So it is indeed important that we do share the truth. And there's multitudes of ways to share it. But we must get the truth out, because if we don't, then we run the risk of having the truth that we know taken away from us because we did not share it with others. And we're going to be lost. So, point well taken, brother. And praise the Lord.
Yes, I just wanted to also touch on that. That's why, you know, with part of this being, actually all of it, praise God for that. The impression that the Lord had placed on my heart was the need for, you know, us to really, to get out there and really, I mean, there's workers out there. The Lord knows that. I know that personally, myself, the workers that are, some of the workers that are out there in full force. But us, those of us that really are being hesitant to speak, maybe it's because not sure how to speak, or you think that you might say the wrong thing, or you may not think that you know as much as you know. We need to take what it is we already know. One slice of bread is better than no bread at all. We don't have to bring the whole loaf, you know. We just need to bring some of the bread, you know. So if we can at least do that, I think that's what's also being impressed on my heart, because it's just so late. Now, I don't know, dear brother, if there's anyone that wants to share anything of their own experience in witnessing in these kind of different situations, or if anyone wants to share something, song to sing, or. Otherwise, I really didn't want to go any further than what I did because of the time. So, or I'd have just kept going.
I understand, brother. And I praise the Lord for your message. And thank you, dear brother, for sharing it. And I think you stopped at a good point. But I have a scripture song that I'd like to sing. This deals with being the witnesses for God. And it's Isaiah 43, verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Isaiah 43, verse 10. So each and every person that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, He says, ye are my witnesses. So go and share Christ as His witness to others, so that they in turn can be His witnesses. So that was Isaiah 43, verse 10.
Good night, dear brethren. Father Joel, thank you for sharing with us such a follow-up message. It's very important. A lot of us would like to give them the gospel, and some of us may not even know how to begin. That's the reason that we cannot go and give the gospel without praying and asking the Holy Spirit to really prepare us for whatever it is that we're going to encounter, because He's the only one that truly knows the heart. Sometimes I sit down and I hear the message, either any one of the brethren, and at the same time, it makes you realize the magnitude of the job. Also, it makes you realize the solemnity of the time, and also what is it that the people really need to be able to spring up in life at this moment. It is present truth. I like that statement because there is so many truths in the Word of God. There's so many things you could talk about, but what is it that is needed right now to allow the person to spring up to life? It is the key to giving this message. The third angel's message is truly a compacted and complete message because it has the beginning of how everything begins and even the ending of what's going to happen and how to prepare ourselves and even giving us the tool that goes side by side with it, because we could give this message, but if our bodies are not prepared to give the message, we're not going to be able to be wholesome, because in this generation right now, we have a lot of people that are hurting spiritually, physically, and mentally. And at the same time, they are being bombarded with so many different doctrines. And some people are so caught up in a lot of traditions. Some people are so caught up in having what you call respect for what their family believes. But nobody really truly understands the mind of the ideal, as in, if we don't get to know what is the true gospel, we're going to lose our chance of salvation. Because the bottom line, if we don't know about Jesus, if we don't become like Jesus, if we are not converted to the character of Jesus, there's no way we can be able to see the kingdom of heaven. So the prayer would be always, Lord, what is it that we can be able to reach the heart of the individual so they can have a personal relationship with Jesus? Not one as in going to church, sitting down, hearing the sermon. Separate the sermon completely from their lifestyle. You're talking about bringing the word of God that it becomes a hammer that continues chiseling little by little and shaping that individual to become a light bearer themselves. Because the harvest is really full, but the workmen are very little. Effective workmen, not some that becomes very excited at the beginning of the work, but as soon as the labor starts becoming like really heavy, they shy away from the instrument. They shy away from the message because they never expected it to be this way. We need to really tell the people, are you willing to sacrifice your life for the sake of the saved? Because this is a message of sacrifice. The life that we want to be able to obtain is the one that we have to be able to make it shine. Therefore, by doing that every day, your life is going to be not seen that much. When I sit down and I talk to my dear sisters, I always talk about this is the job of the invisible. When you come in to become a Christian, you're not seen, you're not heard, you're not actually being spoken of. Because basically what comes out of your mouth, it is Jesus, it is the life of Jesus, the glorification of his name. And these are the things then that when you come in to give the gospel, how can you allow a man that is in a state where you used to be, in darkness? How could you be able to bring the light where it's only the light that he needs to be able to see the dark parts of his life? This is where our life has to be set aside, that we can be able to really shine that light that is the only thing that can be able to go to all the creases and the corners of their life and look towards the true mirror and see what is wrong with their life without Jesus. That is very hard because I have tried many times to be able to hide myself in ways that they can be able to see God. But you know what I realized? There's so many doctrines out there. And the doctrine becomes so overwhelming to the point that even by they knowing these things, then they become a hindrance to the new one. So a lot of time is spent to be able to remove these stones that are stopping the individual from even coming out of that hole that they used to be in because of the things that they used to practice. So I was praying, I asked the Lord to give me the discernment not to be able to already overwhelm the individual with information, but look and see what is in their life that they need, that they can be able to come to a closer relationship, an intimate relationship with Jesus. Because A lot of people know about Jesus, but they don't have an intimate relationship. That when everything goes away, you leave them with Christ. That if everything goes away from them, they don't feel that abandoned. Because I noticed that they get so used to having people to be able to give them the Word of God that now when it's time for them to individually take the Word and study for themselves, it's something that they don't really want to do because they're already used to going into the churches and being among a lot of people and they've been fed, not knowing that this is the generation that the Lord said He was going to teach them Himself if we would just seek for wisdom going towards Him. I just wanted to share that. And there's a little song that is in Spanish. I wish Sister Lynn would have said that she can be able to interpret it in English. But it's talking about it's time for you to be able to light a light in the world, which is the light which is in Jesus. And this light is supposed to be lit in dark places. You cannot hide the light. You cannot silence the light. But you need to be able to light the light, which is the light of Christ, which is the light of men, and to take them out of that darkness. This is what the song is saying. And he said, how blessed are those of the feet of those that take the gospel to all of these remote places around the world that they have never heard about Christ. They have never heard of Him. Or some of them would like to, but because they don't even have the alphabet given to them, they cannot even read. Meanwhile, God's people are that have the Word of God is in the midst of all these confusions and these arguments when there's a lot of people that are dying without knowing who Christ is. So what are we going to do in this generation? We will continue the time that we are delaying the Lord by actually getting involved in things that is not bringing people into the true life of the Lord. This is what this song is all about. So I hope y'all could be able to hear it, enjoy it like I did the first time when I heard it. It says, enciende una luz, déjala brillar, la luz de Jesús. Que brilla en todo lugar, no la puedes esconder, no te puedes callar ante tal necesidad. Enciende una luz en la oscuridad. ¿Cómo puedo invocar a aquel en el cual no han creído? ¿Cómo creerán en aquel en quien no han oído? ¿Cómo lo oirán si es que nadie les predica? Hermosos son los pies de lo que anuncian la paz, la buena nueva de Jesús. Enciende una luz, déjala brillar, la luz de Jesús, que brilla en todo lugar, no la puedes esconder. No te puedes callar ante tal necesidad. Enciende una luz en la oscuridad. So we could go out and be able to light a light in the heart of man to be able to bring Jesus closer to a dying world that doesn't know who Christ is. I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, sister, and that was beautiful. Are there any other questions or comments for Brother Joel? Are there any other testimonies that you'd like to give or songs that you'd like to sing? Before we close, dear ones, please go right ahead. You know, Sister Rose, you brought up an excellent point about individuals coming to the churches to be fed and them being content to be fed but not to take the nourishment and share it with others. And when you were saying that, it reminded me of babies, infants. In the beginning of their life, they have to be fed by others because they can't get it for themselves. And when they're able to sit up, still being an infant but older, they have to be spoon-fed so that they'll learn how to eat for themselves. But if they're always spoon-fed and they're not taught to get the food for themselves and perhaps help others by sharing their food with them, then their whole life is going to be kept in an infantile state. They're going to believe that everyone is out there to feed them, whereas they're not learning that they need to grow up and be able to share their food with others. So it becomes a self-centered existence instead of a self-sacrificing existence. So it's proper to feed others. And sometimes you have to start with the milk of the Word, the very simple gospel truths. And as they get older and as they get more mature in the faith, you can then start sharing more than just milk. You can start giving meat. You can start giving food, solid food. But they also have to be taught that they need to share with others so that they don't become focused on self, but focused on how they can help others. And that comes back into the talents. We have to use our talents, and then when we use them and empty ourselves for the sake of others, God will fill us with more than what we had before. That's why the individual that started with five ended up with 10. He shared his five, and God increased his capacity to understand more truth, and now he has 10 talents. The person that had two gained four. The individual that had one buried it. And because he didn't use it in the service of others, it was eventually removed from him. He was forced to stand on his own, and he didn't know what to do, and he was lost. And the same thing is going to happen with those that are content to be spoon-fed when they should be well mature beyond the infantile stage in the gospel life to be able to stand on their own to feed themselves by studying the Word of God for themselves and sharing what they know with others. And pretty soon, when they're forced to stand because the person that was spoon-feeding them is no longer able to, they don't know what to do, and they're going to be lost. So yes, we're to give the gospel in all stages, the sincere milk of the Word, the bread of life, the food, the nourishing solid food, the meat of God's Word to those that are mature enough to understand it and comprehend it and appreciate it. But we also must teach them that they need to take the nourishment and be able to stand and share with others the gospel. So thank you, dear brother, for bringing the lesson home. And thank you, sister, for pointing us back to the issue that we're not here to serve self. We're here to serve Christ and others.
Amen. This chapter of this book reminds me of that. It's in Hebrews chapter 5, and it begins with verse 12 to 14. It says, I don't know if someone can post it just in case for others to be able to hear. It says, for when For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And the thing that is so remarkable that I like is that even when a mother is feeding a child's milk, notice that as they are being fed milk, they have to use their limbs. They have to start getting stronger in their bones. They have to start trying to be able to grab on and then after try to creep and then you start to walk, but it's not for you to stay still. You have to start trying to see if those words are true. You know, the Lord says you're supposed to try to see if not only that you are receiving the word of God, how is it going to work for you? Because I can't go by your faith. I have to be able to exercise my own limb. So even if it's a little bit of milk, that what is in the formula of that milk is giving you enough nourishment to be able to use your limb, to be able to look and see how is this going to be applicable in my life, or how can I tell other people about this formula, this baby milk that I'm getting. And it's just like when the scripture tells you in many of the studies that we have studied before, that once we add, the Lord will multiply. But if we don't add anything, how could he multiply what he has not seen we adding in our faith? So it is very important as we give this gospel that as you see when someone is stuck clinging, they need to be able to understand that you're just a messenger. You're not the message. The message is Jesus, and Jesus is the one that you need to have the relationship. We don't know how long we're going to be here. We don't know how long we're going to be in this position. We got to really take advantage of that time. Time is not waiting for anyone. We don't know who we're going to be able to be around, and we don't know who the gospel is going to go to. You don't even know who is the person that you're sharing with. Maybe that one person can be able to bring for many to the Lord. For that reason, we have to really take into account that that very moment that you decided to share at least one word with that individual, it is God working the salvation of that individual. And you need to humble yourself and surrender your will to him that he may perform that work, because we ourselves can't do anything about that. We can't save anyone, but we have to go through the same process that they did. And never forgetting, like we just read in this study today, never forgetting where we came from. So like that, we will have also the same compassionate and the tender love that we were also found in myrrh. We were found in darkness. But the same tender love that was given to us and the same tender care that the Lord did to bring us into this gospel, we should never forget that. And then like that, we will be able to continue on bringing as much soul to God.
Amen, dear sister. I agree with all of that. I also wanted to touch on something that you just said, actually, in regards to the amount of time that we have, that we are not aware of how much time is really left in this. And it's really interesting because if we waste our time not witnessing and exercising the talents that God gives us, or moving, even as is already been said, from off the milk into the meat, and getting into more solid things, and not letting our spiritual muscles atrophy, the Lord is long-suffering with us all. And what we don't realize sometimes is the opportunities to witness to others is also God's mercy to us in our salvation. For we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. If we are not exercising exactly what it is that we claim we believe in, we are not professing Christ to others. And the Lord, in his mercy, even as he gave us faith, because we did not have it of our own, is also giving us opportunities to profess that faith. So if we deny that even, and we don't want to take those opportunities, there really is no hope for an individual who will not profess Christ and will not exercise the spiritual gifts and will not grow because they choose not to. The Lord is doing everything in love that He possibly can to save us. It is we who must go ahead and do all that we are supposed to do according to the measure of faith that He has given each of us. And He is not requiring us to do more than the faith that He has given us can handle. We only have to do what it is that He requires us to do to be saved. If we do even more, well, praise God, then that's more. But He gives us what we are required to do, and if we can't do that, we should not expect to enter in. The one that had the one talent only had to invest for the one talent. He only had to use the one talent. While others, it was required of them to use the 5 or the 10 or so. But he didn't even use the one talent. So he had no hope. And neither will any who will not just take the gospel that they were saved by, in what words that they were saved by, even as the woman by the well got that much, she took that much and ran with it. And what happened with what she did with that little bit she got? Oh, my lands, a whole city came out. So it's not us who's doing the majority of the work. It's the Lord that does the work, but we have to be obedient with what work He gives us to do. Because He is God, and He knows exactly how much to give us, and is not going to require any more of us than what we can handle. So, yeah, I praise God. All these points that were brought, dear sister, fantastic. I praise the living God for that. Thank you also, dear brother. Thank you so much.
Well, dear ones, we've come to the end of another midweek church service, and praise God for all the wonderful truths that have been shared, and the points are well taken. Thank you also, dear brother, for being our guest speaker. And it looks like we're going to have you next Wednesday as well. So that's a double treat. And praise God for speaking through you this evening. We appreciate you all coming out. And may God be with you now as we part just for a short time. And may the Lord continue to shine His grace and His lovely face upon you in just the next couple days, the remaining part of this week, until we're able to come back Friday evening to, again, fellowship with other brothers and sisters of like faith, to welcome our visitors, and especially to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. May God go with you now.
God bless you all,
and thank you so much for your patience and for keeping me in prayer. God bless you all. It's been a real blessing.